Well, if you can make your way to your seat so we can go ahead and get started, I'd appreciate it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 84. Psalms chapter 84. We're going to continue on in our series of sermons that we've been doing all summer called A Summer of Psalms. And just have totally enjoyed this. I hope you have as well. Yes. Psalms is a wonderful, wonderful book. That has many wonderful things in it. We don't, even spending the whole entire summer, we'll only hit a very few of them. But they are good. Psalm 84, we're going to be starting in verse 1. And Psalm 84 is written by the sons of Korah. As Corey said a few weeks ago, they were the worship leaders for the temple at the time of David. Wonderful. By the way, there's actually a band out today called the Sons of Korah, which if you like some, I was going to say some good music, then you could listen to them. And it is good, by the way. I encourage you to check them out. But Psalm 84 is one of my favorite psalms. And I'll tell you, a few years ago, I always say a few years ago. Chad, a few years ago is like just 2 or 3 years ago. This is like 40 years ago. So many years ago, before some of you even were born, I had a good friend who came down with cancer. And he... I went over to his house. I was praying with him. I was praying for him. And he asked me to sing a song. And for those that don't know, my wife is a singer. I am not. But thankfully, his son was also a guitarist and also played music. And we began to sing this song. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He goes, you know, I've sang this song a million times. And I was, and he's speaking of Psalm 84, he said, but I've never really realized how close being in the Lord's presence was until this day. He, a few weeks later, succumbed to cancer. And I remember at his funeral, we were standing before his funeral, and his son got up, and it was a large church, the funeral was, and he began to play the song. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most moving moments I've ever had in my whole entire life. And you'll understand why in a moment. So let's read Psalm 84, starting in verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can stand before you. and experience the many blessings that you have for us. Lord, we don't deserve any of these, but you so rightly give them, and so graciously, I should say, instead rightly, graciously give them to us, Father. Lord, we love you. We thank you for those things. We ask you, Lord, as we go through this psalm that the sons of Korah wrote, that we can truly take on the understanding and meaning of what it means to be better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Lord, help us to grasp a hold of that. Grasp a hold of that thought. Let it be a lifestyle. Let it be a way of life, Father, as we walk the earth, doing the things that you've called us to do. Lord, I pray that my words would not be truly my own words, but they would be your words, Father. Speak to us today. Open our ears and our minds and our hearts. Remove any hindrances that keep us from experiencing and hearing you and what you would have to say to us. Holy Spirit, have your way with us in this room. Speak to our hearts. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Grow us where we need to be grown. And help us to follow you in all ways. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise because you deserve that and so much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So the psalmist opens up this verse with, "How lovely is your dwelling place." You have to understand a little bit about this psalm before it makes sense. This psalm was written by a sojourner, is what they used to call them, or a pilgrimage, a pilgrim, someone who was on his way to Jerusalem. He was going to the temple. He wanted, this person who was writing this song, wanted to go to the temple. It was a journey that he would often make. We know of famous journeys in Scripture. We know of when Jesus' birth, when Mary and Joseph make the journey to Jerusalem, they have to travel many for the census, right? This happened oftentimes. If you are a Jewish believer, often you would travel to the temple. Why? Because the temple was where the Spirit of God was resided. We've talked about in the past, and I've mentioned this, that in the temple there's different rooms. There's the outer courts and the inner courts, and then on the inside of the temple is what's called the Holy of Holies. This is where the Spirit of God would reside before Jesus came to this earth. And so it was common for those who followed God to go to the temple to want to worship him at the temple. It was literally more than just a church. It was a place that people wanted to hang out with. This is why Jesus was so angry when he said, "You have turned my house of the Lord into a den of robbers." And he would go in and he would flip the tables. Jesus knew the importance of the temple because the temple housed God. And so the Jewish people would make this journey there. Now this is important because we know this to be true because of a few different things. Number one is that later on in the psalm, he talks about going to the Valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca was known as the Valley of Tears. It was a place of many trees, the sweet gum trees, I call them, and they would literally drip down the sugary, rubbery substance that came from the leaves. And it was something that every journey, every pilgrimage that was going to Jerusalem would go through this valley, and they would make note of it. It was often a place of sorrow, a place of sadness, a place of where they would reflect on all of the people that were lost and those types of things when they got there. So we know that this psalm writer is on a journey on his way to Jerusalem. The question that he starts, he not only says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord," but then he goes on to say, "My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." But we have to ask this question, and I want to start here today. Where is God's dwelling place? In the Jewish tradition, before Jesus was on this earth, the dwelling place of God was the temple. It was the Holy of Holies, as I said before. It was also the place, by the way, that only certain priests could go into that Holy of Holies. It was the location that when the priest went in to share a sacrifice, they would literally tie a rope around their feet. And they would also give little bells on their feet, if you will, or their legs. So that if they were in the middle of the Holy of Holies, and they entered into this place, and they had any sin upon them at all, they would drop dead. And this had happened, and they would have to literally pull them out by the rope. God's presence was so manifest. It was where God's presence served. Before they built the temple, of course, it was on the Ark of the Covenant. And so they would carry it through the tents and it would go from place to place. But when they finally built the temple, the Holy of Holies, the inner court, if you will, the most inner part of the temple is where God's presence would be. So this psalmist is making a journey to reside. He wants to reside. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. What he's truly saying is one day being in your temple is so much better than being anywhere else. Now here's the issue. Today, that temple does not no longer host the Spirit of God. We know from Jesus' death and resurrection here on the cross. During Jesus' death on the cross, we hear that the temple, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies was ripped in two. And we also know that the Spirit of God left the temple at that time. And we also theologically know today that if we would go through Scripture, I could tell you that the Spirit of God rests inside of His believers today. And so when the psalmist sings, how lovely is your dwelling place, what he's saying is a place that he's going. He's going to this place. Now here's the most beautiful thing. The dwelling place of God can be inside of you today. Each one of you can have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you today. If we live our life in accordance with what He would want us to do. He longed to be in the dwelling place of the Lord. He longed to be in that place because this is where he would experience the amazing things that God has for them. We take for granted today that the Spirit of God is inside of us. I mean, I had a conversation with someone this past week, and they said, "I said you should come to church," and they said, "Oh, we'd love to. Where do you meet at?" And I said, "Oh, we meet on Summit Street." "Oh, that's really far." I said, "Well, where do you live?" "Well, I live on the north side of Kent." I said, "Well, you haven't figured out how great Passion Community Church is yet then. Because when you figure that out, you'd be willing to drive hours for it." It's funny, I say that just because we often look at coming to the church often is viewed as a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of the Lord. We often look at the place. Well, here's the thing. We often also in our head think that I got to go to church to get close to God. Oh, what? Guess what? You don't. Now, I know as a pastor, that's not a good thing to say, right? You don't have to come to church to get the Spirit of God. You don't. We come to church to celebrate what the Spirit of God is doing inside of us and to be lifted up and to be encouraged and to want to do more. But the Spirit of God is really inside of you. If you're a Christian and you're following Jesus, what that means, you have accepted what He did on the cross for you, then you have the Spirit of God inside of you. If you've asked for forgiveness and you've confessed of your sins, you have turned around from your sin, then you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. And so when the psalmist says, "How lovely is your dwelling place?" If we sing that song today, guess what? The Lord's dwelling place is inside of us. So that should be a couple, you know, I once heard someone say, "Oh, my body's a temple." Well, my body's a mega church, okay? Thank you very much, all right? No, but our bodies are temples. Sorry. But our bodies are temples. We're the temple of God. We reside. We have God inside of us. So when we no longer have to journey to the temple, we just have to be open to allowing God to flow from us, to change who we are, and to live like Him and how He would want us to live. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to go to the temple. You have to get real with God inside of you. You have to allow Him to work inside of you. See, of course, we don't have buildings today that house the Spirit of God. In these days, it's inside of us. It's personal. I won't get into singing. we had a whole bunch of kids over to our house on Friday, and they were dancing and they're doing all these things. And one of the kids goes, "Hey, do you know this really, really old song?" And I'm like, "What really old song is that?" And they're like, "You know the song, I think it's called Personal Jesus or something like that." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I'm really old. Don't get me into singing that song or dancing that song." God is in us. We are the new temple of God. In Him we experience the presence of God with us, in us, and through us. We don't have to go to the temple. We don't have to go to places anymore. He's inside of us. We just have to have a relationship with Him. We have to walk with Him. We are the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us this. God's presence today is through Jesus and what He has done inside of us. Verse number 2 goes in and says, "My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for the joy to the living God." What an amazing words. Think about that for a moment. The psalmist is writing, "My soul longs, yes, even faints." Now, I don't know about too many of you, but I have not seen anyone faint about coming to church yet. Okay? I'm disappointed in all of you, all right? I've seen some of you faint over not having food, but I haven't seen any of you faint about not coming to church. Amen. I wasn't going to mention your name, Ben, but okay, since you said it. The truth of the matter is that we long for so many things on this earth, but do we long for the Lord? It's a really important question that we have to ask ourselves, because this psalmist is asking us to take a hard look at ourselves. He's asking us to take an inner look inside of us and say, do we really long for the Lord? Do we really long for what He has for us, or do we long for everything else? How many of us long for a fat paycheck and a big bank account? How many of us long for a nice juicy steak? I'm really talking about food a lot today, Ben. Yeah, no, not really, but how many of us long for perfect relationships and perfect households and perfect cars and all of these things? We strive every single day to have all of these things, but do we strive every single day to have a perfect, longing, fainting relationship for the Lord? And I would guess the answer to that would be no. See, we have to ask, does our soul long for God, let alone faint for Him? Do we want to be so close to God that nothing else matters? Or do we allow everything else in our life to take its position, His position in our lives? Do we allow the troubles of this world, do we allow the troubles of our life to overrun us and not the faith, our faith in the Lord? See, God calling each and every one of us to have a relationship that's so deep with Him that nothing else matters. Our relationship with the Lord is more important than anything else on this earth. And we must learn to live our life where He is the most important thing. That a day without Him is a day that I cannot and will not ever survive through and do not want to even face. A day where I can't speak out to my Lord and say, "I need your help, I need your assistance, I need to just be, I need you, I need your presence, Lord." When that becomes more important than everything else, guess what? Everything else is not that important. Because when the Lord is important to you, then you realize that you can make it through anything. Because nothing is impossible for who? Not for us, for God. So when we have God with us, He gives us the out. He gives us the way through. He gives us the ability to make it through the tough things. He gives us the ability to do all of the things that He has called us to do. One spiritual pilgrim put it this way. He said, "I looked for God up on the mountain and I found grandeur, but it was not God. I looked for God down by the shore and I found relaxation. But it was not God. I looked for God on the golf course and I found Chaz." We need to do better at that. I'm sorry. Those were my words. Let me go back to his quote. "I looked for God on the golf course and I found camaraderie, but it was not God. I looked for God in my family home and I found love, but it was not God. I looked for God everywhere and I found many wonderful things, but I could not find God. Then I went to church. And there I found God." You know, I know I just said that you don't have to be at church to find God, but it does certainly help to have brothers and sisters who are following God reminding us that we need to follow God too. It is why church exists. Church doesn't exist to house the Spirit of God. Church exists so that we can celebrate together, so that we can get encouraged by each other, so we can say, listen, if you're down and out and you're having a hard time, you can come in and you can see someone and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. And they step in and they do it. It's a time for us to lift each other up in the eyes of the Lord and to grow closer with Him. The problem is that so many of us don't find God in church. Many of us find so many other things in church, but we don't find God. We come looking for something else other than God. I've just found a lot of times people come in the door, they're looking for something specific, and it's usually not God. They're looking for something perfect. And I usually say, if you're looking for something perfect, you're in the wrong place. Because I'm the pastor, and I'm not far. Let me try that again. I'm far from that. Thank you, sir. That's the Lord. See, He's messing up my speech because I'm trying to say I'm perfect and I'm not. And He's reminding me that I'm not. The problem of it is that too oftentimes we have to find God inside of who we are. We need a relationship with Him. We have to find God in everything that He has. We have to have a commitment to God. The psalmist says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Can you actually say that? Would you rather be in church than anywhere else? Would you rather be in church, or would you rather be in God's presence than on the greatest vacation you've ever taken? Now listen, I can find God on the beaches of Hawaii. Send me there, and I'll tell you. Yeah. But I can tell you this. When you have God inside your heart and you join with other believers who have God inside their hearts, there's no sweeter place to be. Because it is the most amazing feeling to have like-minded hearts coming together for a beautiful picture of what God is doing. Few people actually long for God. They long for all the good things He can bring us. A true longing means that you will happily go through whatever is needed to get to Him. We often find ourselves longing for what God gives to us instead of God Himself. Why is that? Well, we long for God to heal me. I long for God to bless my bank account. I long for God to bless my relationships. I long for God to do all of these things. And then when God says, well, you need to correct this. Nope, sorry, God, I just long for you. Well, I'm trying to tell you what you need to know. God, I just long for your presence. Well, my presence doesn't come without something being corrected inside of you. Do you understand that? God's presence inside of your life is going to cause something to be corrected inside of you. You have a choice to make. God's presence and evil does not exist at the same time. So if there's evil inside of your heart and you ask God to come, something else has to leave. They don't coexist. Evil and God does not coexist. And so when we long to have God in our hearts, that means we are longing to be closer to Him. The closer we get to Him, the more we have to deal with the pain and the things that we have to get rid of inside our hearts. It's one of the most difficult things to do, but it's the biggest blessing that we'll ever have, is when we deal with our own issues and we get closer to God. Then we can truly say, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. You know, the psalmist doesn't say this, but we say he almost comes to the temple prepared. He's longing for that. He's longing to be in the presence of the Lord. He's longing for the Lord to be there. Now listen, when we come to church, do you come to church going, I don't really want to be here. Oh. I'm so tired. I don't feel good. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. Whatever it is. I get it. I do. But how about longing to be in the presence of the Lord? How about saying, nothing else in my life matters as much as it is being with Him and being in Him. And if I can't be there in that place, guess what? You need to be here even more so. If I can't get myself to the place where the Lord is speaking to me and helping me overcome the things that are inside my heart and my mind that I need help with, then you need to be in the presence of the Lord with other believers so they can encourage you and they can build you up and go forward. How is your frame of mind when you come to church? How's your frame of mind when you read the Bible? How's your frame of mind when you pray? Are you seeking the Lord? Do you have a laundry list of all the things you need the Lord to do for you, but you're not actually asking Him and opening your ears to hear what He wants you to do for yourself or in yourself? See, too oftentimes when we seek the Lord and we dwell in His place, it's only for us to verbally vomit. Sorry for that example, but to verbally throw out everything that I need Him to do. Do you ever pause and just say, Lord, you know, I have this whole list of things that I could ask you that I need you to answer, but I just want to pause here for a moment and say, you're such a good God. And I love you. And I need you. The psalm writer comes through the door of the church or of the temple with just one thing in mind. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Typically, the problem with believers today is that we only get to that place when we need something. When we've got a bad doctor's appointment, bad doctor's report, our finances are gone sour or south, the relationships have had a problem. That's when we come to the Lord and we decide that I'm going to just cry out, I need you, Lord, I need you, all of these things. And the Lord kind of looks down and says, well, I'm sure this is my adaptation of what the Lord would say. This isn't the Lord, by the way. But I almost feel like you'd say, well, where were you when everything was going good? How come you only pray for me when you need something? See, our idea here is that we need to seek after Him in all things. And that we would happily go through whatever is needed to get to Him. Why do I say happily go through something? Because you ask someone to change, and guess what? The very first thing they do is, I don't want to change. That's too hard. Don't ask me to do that. The truth of the matter is that we as followers of the Lord should be willing to change everything about us. We should be willing to be so open-hearted and open-minded that if the Lord says jump, we jump. If the Lord says deal with this, we deal with this. Why? And not second-guess it. We should just do it because the Lord is inside of us. Do we really long for what He has for us, or do we long for the good things He brings to us? Because one is an actual follower of Jesus. The other one is an ATM machine. If you understand what I mean by that, is that if you only want things that are good for you and you plug in the ATM machine and it spits out cash, guess what? That's what you get. As long as you have money in your bank account, right? But the other one, being faithful to God, being faithful to who He is, means that we will long for Him even when He asks us to go through something. Even when He asks us to deal with some problems that we have, to change who we are inside of our heart, to walk away from addictions, to walk away from sin, to walk away from the things that keep us close to Him. When we walk away from those things and we really long to have that true relationship with Him, that's when we should be. That's why David, in the psalm that we did last week, said, his contrite heart. He wanted a contrite heart. He wanted to break his heart before the Lord. He wanted to be sad before Him. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. It doesn't say blessed are those who dwell in your house and complain. It said blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. What do you do when you're in the presence of the Lord? You praise Him. Why? Because His presence is so great inside of you that nothing else matters, and that's worthy to be praised. The psalmist goes on to say, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. I have to tell you the idea of going from pools to pools. What does that mean? That means in the valley of Baca, what it really was a desert land. And so there was very little water. And so when the psalmist says the early rains makes pools, it's because there's places to stop and get a drink. Otherwise, if you went in the late season, you're going through a very dry period of time and there was nowhere to stop to get something to drink. We have to ask ourselves a simple question. Are you dwelling in the house of the Lord? Blessed are those that dwell in his house. You know, I long to have our own church building. Would love to. By the way, if you don't know, we don't own this building. We rent this building. And I long to have our own building. I really do. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is I long to see people dwelling in the house of the Lord. Meaning they're dwelling with the Lord inside of them. Dwelling inside of them. Dwelling, doing all that he has called you to do. That's the most important thing. We have some work to do because our house, is it in order? I want to ask you this question, and I want you to think really difficult and really hard. Is your house in order? Your temple, the temple of God that you create, that you are, is it in order? Do you have all the things that you need? Are all of these things in the order? Would God want to dwell in your house? Can you go and dwell in that house with the Lord because he is there? The mistake that we often make is that we dwell part-time in the house of the Lord. We come here on Sundays, and we come here when we need something. But the truth of the matter is if we understand the temple of God is inside of us, then anywhere and everywhere we go, he will never leave us. But we separate ourselves from the Lord when we cause ourselves to fall to temptation. When he causes ourselves to fall, our temple becomes a little gross and a little dirty. It needs a little sweeping up and tidying up. The temple of God who is us inside of us and all that he is inside of us, we need to work on making sure that it is in the right place. Question you may ask is, how do we do that? Well, it starts with the understanding that your faith is not a side note to your life. All of you at some point today got up this morning and decided I'm coming to church. All of you in this place got up and said, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to go here. I'm going to make a point. Maybe it was a decision. Maybe it's not even a decision you have to make. Maybe it's just something that is automatic. It's a routine. It's a habit. You get up every morning and you go, if you come to church every morning, that's great. But if you, every Sunday you get up and you come to church, it's just something that we do. But if you understand that your faith is not a side note, that's a great thing, by the way. But if you understand that your faith is not a side note, what are you doing with your faith? Oftentimes I hear someone go, I ask them, what do you do for a living? Well, I'll use a few men in here. I'm a truck driver.
It's not a living.
It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, that's right. But you understand, listen, when you say I am whatever it is, whether you're a truck driver, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a teacher, whether you're whatever you do for a living, right? If you insert and say that's who I am, that's not who you are. That's your job, but that's not who you are. Who are you? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a Christian bought and paid for by his blood of Jesus Christ. And everything else after that is secondary. Everything else. Your job is secondary to your faith. Your life is secondary to your faith. Your relationships, your husband, your wife, your kids, all of that is secondary to your faith. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it starts with that. That's the most important thing. Why is that? Why am I even bringing that up? Because too often we as Christians say, I'm a this, but I go to this church. That's great. I'm happy that all of you are here this morning. But I would be more happier, if we would live for our Savior Jesus Christ inside of us. And that would dictate everything else we do. Why is it that our faith becomes a side note, a secondary, a thing that we try to add on? Why aren't you a Christian on your job and that dictates everything about you? You should be the best employee that your employer has. Do you understand that? As a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're following Jesus Christ, when you go to work every single day, you should be the very best employee, on that job. Why? Because you're not working for the money. You're not working for the job. Well, okay, let's be honest. We are working for the money. But that's not the main reason. The main reason that we're here, the main reason we're doing that is because we're following Jesus Christ. And he calls us to be the best that we can be. Why is this all so important? This is all so important because if you're really going to long for the Lord, you're going to long for the Lord to be who you are wherever you're at. Not just as a side note. Not just as a secondary add-on. Your faith should change everything about you. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, and you have, then it should have changed everything about you. It changes the way that you act. It changes the way that you talk. It changes the decisions, the choices you make. And when you don't allow those choices to change, when you don't change those things, then what are you actually doing? You're actually keeping the Lord from moving inside of you. And then I would come to you and say, you're not dwelling in the house of the Lord. Because if you're dwelling in the house of the Lord, that means that what he wants is more important than anything else. And that you'll follow him wholeheartedly, 100%. Looking down the path, I'm going to follow him. That's what matters most. You're not a man or a woman who goes to church. You're a blood-bought follower of Jesus Christ, and everything comes out of that. Everything. You're not a businessman or a truck driver who knows Christ. You're a Christian who owns a business or works on a business or works in a business. You're a Christian who drives a truck. You're not a mom who serves Christ. You're a Christian who is a mom. There's a big difference. If you understand what I'm saying is the order of importance here. When you place whatever you're doing at a higher importance than God, then what are you doing? You're not dwelling in the house of the Lord. And so stop dwelling in the house of whatever your job is or the house of whatever you do and dwell in the house of the Lord instead. And then let everything else flow from that. Too often we as Christians give our life to Christ because we want the fire insurance. We want the stamp on our rear so we don't, as Jay used to say, so we don't go to a place that's real hot. That's called hell, by the way, and you're allowed to say it. It's in the Bible. We want that insurance. We don't truly long for the relationship with the Lord. We just want protection so I don't go to hell. That's really, honestly, what many Christians do. They come to church and they get they get convicted by someone going, you're going to go to hell if you don't. Yeah, that's true. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But you know what? I'd rather have you have a relationship with a God who you're willing to give everything over to than someone that's just going to save you from fire. Is part of a relationship with Jesus Christ mean that you have protection from hell? Yes, absolutely. 100%. One of the greatest things ever. We don't have to worry about eternity in hell. We get an eternity on the golden streets, which is much better. But the truth of the matter is if you long for Jesus, if you long for God, then it's way different than just getting the fire insurance. And why does that matter? Because if you just have fire insurance, you're not going to care about anything else. Because guess what? Jesus is going to forgive me. So I can go through my life and I can sin, I can do all of these things because eventually before I die, God will forgive me and that's okay. But the psalmist tells us something different. If you dwell in the house of the Lord, if you long for him, if your soul even faints for him, then what happens? You're building your whole life on him. You're not building your life on some insurance that you got. And so you want a relationship with him. You want to read your Bible. You want to follow him. You want to pray. You want to be at church. You want to share the gospel with other people. Why? Because it is who you are. The psalmist says something amazing. He says, when you do this, you'll go from strength to strength. The question we have to ask is, in order for them to call it dwelling, you have to be in the house. How many of us have a relationship with Christ? But we can't really say that we're dwelling in his house because we only pick it up when we need it. At the end of the day, that's the most important thing. You can't dwell somewhere that you never visit. If I If I go down the road and I just picked a random house and I walk in and I put my feet up on their coffee, go to their refrigerator, on their coffee table, open up the refrigerator, pull out whatever there is to drink and eat inside there, and I sit down, guess what? They're going to call the cops on me. Why? Because they don't know who I am. They have no relationship with me. Some of you got to stop being thieves in God's house. Got to stop being trespassers in a place that you don't know. God wants you to have a relationship with Him so that you can dwell in His house, so you can dwell with Him always. That's what God has called us to do. He goes on to say, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is sun and shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in You." This idea for a day in Your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Can that be honestly said about you? I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I want you, as they're coming forward here to begin, before we begin to wrap up, I want to ask a simple question to you. Is there anything in your life that you long to have more than your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is there anything in your heart and in your soul and in your mind that says, this is the most important thing to me? Now listen, most of you in this room will probably say, no way, there's nothing. God's the most important thing. Prove it. I am a person who is real as they can get. And there are times that my relationship with Christ, I haven't proven that He is the most important thing in my life. There's been times in my life where I've let my faith slip. But God is holding us to a higher standard. And when I say higher standard, I mean that's all of us. Not just me, not just these guys as a worship team, not just leaders, not just whatever. It's all of us. I feel like God, through this verse, is telling me, prove it. The Lord longs to dwell with you. Do you understand that? There's nothing that you can do to keep the Lord from wanting to be with you. Nothing. You can take the worst thing that you've ever done in your life and say, there's no way He's going to love me. And He'll say, I love you even in spite of that. There's nothing that you can do to keep Him away. Except for one thing, and that's choose not to dwell with Him. The reality of it is that there's nothing that we can do other than turning our lives away from Him that keep us from being with Him. And so I believe today that it's right and honorable, if I can say it that way, that when we sing this song, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, that you hear the Lord saying, prove it. Prove it. God doesn't need us to prove it. You understand? He knows our hearts. My saying, prove it, what I believe He's really saying to us is, I want to have this relationship with You. Do you want to have this relationship with Me? Do you long to be in My courts? Do you long to be with Me more than anything else in your life? Has something else taken the place that I should reside in your hearts? I had a conversation with Corey this week, and we were talking about longing for the Lord to return, and he's like, yeah, but I really want to see my kids grow up. And I said, you know what? I understand that, because I was in the same place too. There's things in my life that I think about the eternity of heaven and what that's going to be like. It's going to be the most beautiful thing. But there's things in my life that I think of, wonder how that's going to be, right? One of them is the relationship with my wife. You know, there's nothing else in this world that gives me greater joy than spending a day with my wife. It really does. Honestly, I love you all, but I'd rather spend a day with her than any of you, okay? I just want to tell you this, all right? And I can't help but think, man, there can't be anything greater than that. Guess what? There is. There's a day with the Lord. Because that's so much better. That's hard for me to grasp. That's hard for me to fathom. It's hard for me to fathom seeing Corey's kids grow up and have kids and get married and all of that. Well, let's get married and have kids first. Okay. Get married first, then have kids. I got to say it in the right order. Or to see Charlotte and Carter and all the other kids in our church today. That's an amazing thing to see. All of those things are beautiful, and I love to see that. But you know what? There's nothing better than a day in the courts of the Lord. And if he comes back, that surpasses everything else. Why? Because we can take the greatest day that you've ever experienced, the greatest feeling of love that you could ever experience, and multiply it by eternity, and that's what it's like to be with the Lord. There's nothing better than being with him. Will you stand with me, please? It really starts with two things. Number one is that it starts with Romans chapter 10, verse 9, so that if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus died on the cross for us, that we can have eternity with him. What does that mean? That means that if we come before him and we say, Lord, what I do in my life, what I have done in my life, is not follow you. Forgive me for that. Let me have a relationship with you. Come into my heart. Clean me up. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for putting you on the cross. Forgive me for the penalty that you paid on the cross that I was supposed to pay. But see, what happens oftentimes is we stop there. We stop. Great. Wonderful. You're saved. Salvation. That's only the beginning. The beginning is wonderful, but the steps to get closer to him are even so much sweeter and so much better. It is truly when we can say, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere, is when we decide that whatever he asked me to do, wherever he asked me to be, is so much better than anything else on this earth, including a day with my wife, including a day doing the greatest thing that you could ever do. Those are the times when we begin to look at him and say, I want to grow, I want to do. When I will happily choose to go through the pain and suffering I might have to go through on this earth to be closer to him. What do I mean by that? God never causes pain in our life, right? He allows it, but he doesn't cause it. What he does allow us to do is he doesn't want you to stay the same. And so sometimes you have to deal with some really hard things in your life. Some difficult things. And as you deal with those difficult things, you get closer to him. So what we're going to do here is we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to bless you. And then we're going to sing this song together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the temple that resides inside of us. That we are the temple that resides and holds the Spirit of God. And that we can experience this day with you as we live our life with you. Lord, if there's someone here that's never said those words, never accepted you as their personal Savior, may today be that day where they simply turn to you and say, I confess with my mouth. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you into my heart so that I can follow you. And then making that choice every single day from those words on, that they will follow you regardless of what you ask them to go through, regardless of where you take them, that we will go with you. And Lord, I want to pray for those that are here today that have said those words before, but they have somehow found themselves in the valley of Baca, in a place where there's tears, a place where there's pain, where they see themselves so distanced from you, so far away from you, that they don't know how to get back. Lord, bless those people today and let them see that it's just simply a returning to you. To turn away from their way of life, the things that have brought them down, to a place to say, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because that is where I want to be. Because better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. So Lord, I pray for those today. Convict our hearts, Lord Jesus, of what keeps us away from you. Convict us of the things that cause us to walk away from you instead of towards you. And let us truly be able to proclaim with our hearts, our soul, and our mind that better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. And then help us every single day that we have breath here on this earth to prove it to you that that is truly what we believe and what we want to live. Forgive us, Father. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's worship together.
There is one day in your courts. There is one day in your house. There is one day in your courts. Thousands of slain. There is one day in your courts. There is one day in your house. There is one day in your courts. Thousands of slain. There is one day in your courts. There is one day in your house. There is one day in your courts. Thousands of slain. There is one day in your courts. There is one day in your house. There is one day in your courts. Thousands of slain. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Our sighs so long and even faints for you.
One day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Is that true? Is your heart truly satisfied by the presence of the living God? That's the question that the psalmist is asking to all of us today. Encouraging us as we go through our journey to get to Him, that we can honestly look up and say, better is one day. I don't want to be anywhere else but in your presence, Lord Jesus. Come to this place. Help me to be satisfied with all that you have given to me and all that you are doing inside of me. And when we can get to that place, then we are in the place where the Lord wants us to be. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you for all that you have done, all that you continue to do. We don't, again, Father, we don't deserve it, but you're such an awesome God who continues to bless. And we're so thankful that you are. We ask you, Lord, help us to be satisfied with your presence. There's nothing greater than the presence of the living God living inside of us. So let us go forth from this place, showing the world that you are inside of us, guiding us and directing us. Let us be your hands and feet as you ask us to be, changing our communities, our neighborhoods, our families, Father, for you. And we'll rejoice in all that you have done and proclaiming that it is truly better to be in your courts one day than it is thousands elsewhere. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you. Send us forth this day to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week.